You turn that on. This is, so I'm specifically going to share about my journey in learning to hear the voice of God, because it's been a very, very, very long, challenging journey for me. And God has, I look back and I can see that God brought me through several stages, and it was a long journey. So I don't know where all of you are at. Hopefully, some of you are like, oh, I've heard God ever since I got saved. There was all of a sudden this voice that wasn't there before. I've heard of lots of people with that testimony, and I've been so jealous. But I am sure that there are probably also some of you who are at different points in the same journey. Or maybe some of you are already past and beyond me. If so, I welcome any points and tips and blessings you want to give me, because I know there's even farther to go. When I was thinking about this, and the Lord gave me this message, this outline for sharing this journey, I saw that I had four stages in this walk: ignorance, learning, hoping, and then waiting and walking. And the let me pull here too. Where's my notes? Lord, please give Theo peace. I call the beginning ignorance because I grew up in a Christian home. My parents got saved shortly before I was born, and filled with the Spirit. So, and I know a lot of you didn't have that. Some of you did. But somehow, I completely missed. I don't know if they never told me or went in one ear and out the other, that God wanted to actually talk to me, like talk to me personally, to lead me, guide me. Somehow, I completely missed that. I was filled with the Spirit when I was 7 years old, so I've been praying in tongues for 40 years now. And you would think that that would have done something, but somehow I was still completely missed it. I went to Christian schools. I still never got it until I was 21 years old. And next slide. When I was 21 years old, even though I'd read this verse so many times, suddenly I actually read it, where Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice." And it was like, oh my gosh, wait a minute. You mean God wants to talk to me? Wait a minute. I've been filled with the Spirit since I was 7 years old. He's probably been talking to me for 14 years, and I've been completely clueless and ignoring it. And it was like a revolutionary, mind-blowing, oh my goodness thing for me. And that began began my journey, my pursuit to hear, to recognize God's voice, to figure out of all of the thoughts going through my head, all of the everything. I have a mind that runs like a million miles an hour, just ask Rob, which to sort through all of that chaos and find out what's God and what's me and what's everything else. But just in case there's anybody that, you know, sometimes when I talk with people, they're like, well, I don't know if God actually still speaks to people. That was Old Testament, or that was whatever. Here's a couple verses that I thought were interesting. In Acts 8, this is when Philip, who was not one of the first 12 apostles, he was just someone who got saved somewhere along the line, who believed in Jesus. We don't actually know when. And he was doing whatever it was he was doing one day, and the angel of the Lord spoke to Philip and told him to go down south to the road. This is the story where he meets the Ethiopian. But then a couple of verses later, when he gets down there to the road that goes from Jerusalem to Damascus, the Spirit said to Philip. And I find that fascinating, that God speaks in different ways, even to the same person, in different ways and different times. And Philip knew the difference between, it wasn't like this crazy chaos. He knew an angel spoke to me and told me to go down. And then the Spirit spoke to me and said, go up and join this chariot. And go to the, continue. Also, again, this is a story when Peter had the vision of the great white sheet that descended from heaven. and with all the animals on it, and God said, kill and eat. And after that, he was reflecting on the vision and trying to figure out, what does this mean? What does this mean? I don't understand what this vision was. And again, the Spirit said to him, three men are looking for you. Get up, go downstairs, accompany them without misgiving. So it was the kind of precise directions in both of these stories that we need to be able to hear the voice of God in our lives, because we're not going to find in our Bible, get up, get in your car, and drive to Bucyrus and go to Save-A-Lot because there's somebody outside that I want you to meet and talk to. We need to be able to hear the voice of God for these kind of specific directions. Next slide. And then here, this was Paul and the whole group of people that he was with. They went through the Phrygian and Galatian region, and they were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia. Now, the Bible doesn't say why he forbade them from going there, but obviously God had a purpose. Maybe it was for their safety. Maybe it was some other reason. But they, again, heard and knew, and they weren't like, oh, God wants us to preach the gospel everywhere. That's not the voice of God. They knew that was the voice of the Spirit telling them, don't go there. And, you know, a lot of times we just like to fall back on our solid, know this. The Bible says this, so I do it. And we need to learn to stop and wait. You know, they didn't go. Well, Jesus said, preach everywhere. I'm supposed to go. That can't be God. No, they knew the voice of the Spirit forbidding them, at least at that time, from going into that area, even though obviously eventually somebody went to that area, but the timing wasn't right for God. Next slide. So that was my first stage many years of my life, clueless that God wanted to talk to God, that God wanted to talk to me, and then I finally realized, wait a minute, God is talking to me. So the next stage of my life, I was calling a teaching stage. Now, we're learning our whole life long, so it's not like this stage ever really ends. But this was 19 years. I really, really hope if any of you are in the beginning of this journey that God moves a lot faster, you can learn a lot faster than me. But for me, this next stage was 19 years of God teaching me just lots of little things about trusting him, getting him ready. I realized pretty quickly that God talks in lots of different ways. And, you know, he talks through his word when we read a scripture and it jumps out at you. He speaks to me a lot through songs. You know, maybe it's because I'm musical, but one of the first ways after that turning point when I realized God wanted to talk to me that I was able to latch on to was listen when I first wake up in the morning and see what song God's putting in my heart. And I would go and say, okay, God, where's the message in that song or that line? And he would speak to me. I would start to hear him that way. But I know other people that doesn't work for them because it's unique to each of us. I also learned to start hearing him by writing in my journal. I would write out my prayers. It wasn't like recording everything that happened this day. I would literally write out, God, I'm struggling with this. I'm thinking about this. I'm worrying about this. What do I do? What do I think? Okay, Lord, well, this verse just popped into my mind. What does that say? And God would start, I wasn't hearing clear words, but I'd look back at the end of whatever time I spent with him and reread what I wrote and be like, that wasn't me. God must have been showing me things there. And that was something else that worked for me. And the Bible also talks about God speaking through visions, dreams, angels. I don't know too many people that have had God appear, have had angel sent nowadays, but God could if he wanted to. And I think we need to be open for whatever ways that God wants to speak to us, because he knows us and he knows what, you know, if he gave me the faith to latch onto and know that if I listened first thing in the morning, he would speak to me through the song that I first heard. He might give somebody else the faith to believe something else. You know, this is the way I'm going to start speaking to you and start teaching you. But perhaps the biggest thing that God spoke to me, that God taught me actually, in this learning stage was that we cannot learn to recognize God's voice with our mind. And I know a lot of people, I've mentioned that to a couple people, and they're like, what? But I am a very analytical, mental person. I don't consider that I know something, at least I used to, until I can analyze it, explain it, write it down. Then I know that. If I can't explain it and analyze it, then I feel like I don't really know it yet. So I was trying to apply this to God, and that's most of why it took me 19 years in this learning stage, because I was trying to find a way that, okay, this is the trigger. If this happens, then this means it's God's voice. If I feel goosebumps, then it's God's voice. No, that's not working. If it's this, then it's God. No, that's not working. God, how am I supposed to recognize your voice? But this scripture actually says, this is what we speak, not in words taught to us by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit, explaining spiritual realities with Spirit-taught words. The person without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, but considers them foolishness. In other words, our mind really can't comprehend it. Otherwise, anybody out there who didn't even know God would be able to understand it. They cannot understand it because they are discerned only through the Spirit. And that was my hang-up for 19 years. The turning point came when, go ahead to the next slide. Which one is it? Okay, the turning point came when I went back to that verse, the first one, where Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. And it dawned on me one day, this was about 3 years ago, that I was contradicting God. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. And I kept saying, God, I can't hear you. I can't recognize your voice. I don't know how. I've been saying that for years and years and years. And all of a sudden it dawned on me, Katie, you're contradicting God. You know, having an argument with God for 19 years is essentially what I was doing. And I saw and I realized that, you know, like Jesus said, but the things that come out of the mouth come from the heart. So that what was coming out of my mouth was also what I was thinking in my head constantly and feeling, God, I still can't hear your voice. Why? It's been so many years. Why can't I recognize your voice? What is wrong with me? What, you know, all these times. Go to the next one. And I decided, wait a minute, I have to stop, or God actually led me. Now I look back and realize God was saying, stop contradicting me. But at the time, I was just like, I think I need to stop contradicting God. And this scripture reflects that. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Making the words of our heart, or the meditation of our heart, and what things we think about, and the words of our mouth, in order for them to be acceptable to God, they have to match what he sees. When I was contradicting him, I was relying on my own understanding and what I saw and my perceptions. I wasn't trusting in what he said. And I was like, okay, God, I have to stop this. And I realized I needed to stop looking at it as a yes or no thing, because I was thinking, well, such and such a person hears God like this, and I don't hear that, therefore I don't hear God, and I'm sure God's been talking to me for all these years, and I still don't recognize it, so clearly I don't hear God, you know. I was looking at it as a yes or no thing. And go ahead and do the next scripture. The next scripture is when Jesus said, the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things. And that word teach jumped out at me. And God reminded me how I taught my kids. You know, Rob had to work crazy hours when the kids were little, and I also homeschooled them. So 95% of the communication skills that they learned, speaking, writing, explaining themselves, understanding other people, they learned from me. I taught all three of them how to read. I taught them how to say words right. I taught them proper grammar. I taught them all of that. And God was like, the Holy Spirit's your teacher. That took years for you to teach your kids how to communicate in English. Give the Holy Spirit time to teach you how to communicate with me and my spirit. And I was like, light bulb! And so at that point, this was the big shift out of this stage when I stopped contradicting God's word. And the crazy thing is that so many times I would just have to stop talking because I would be in the middle of thinking something or praying something or saying something, and I'd open my mouth and I'd be out ready to say, well, I'm still struggling to hear God's voice or something like that, and God would stop me and I'd be, well, and instead I learned to say, I'm waiting for the next lesson from the Holy Spirit on how to hear God's voice. That's what I reverted back to, because otherwise I was like, I don't know. I don't know what I'm allowed to say. So the next stage I call hoping. And in this stage, it started not too long after that light bulb moment. Is when I started occasionally recognizing in the moment that God had said something to me. And it was awesome, it was incredible, and it didn't happen all the time. So it was always, I'd wake up every morning, God, are you speaking? I'm listening. I'm not hearing anything. Okay, maybe today, maybe later today. God, I go on a walk to out where I walk to spend time with God. God, are you going to say anything? I'm not hearing anything. I'm listening. I'd go to bed at night. God, are you going to say anything before I go to sleep? I'd stop throughout the day. God, are you saying anything? And it was a maybe thing. Maybe today he'll speak to me. Maybe today I'll hear it. Maybe today. It was a big if there in there. And this is where I spent about 2 years in the last 2 years in this stage. Go ahead and show the next slide. These scriptures here, this is part of, like, these scriptures kind of talk about what I was starting to learn about walking with God and hearing his voice. Jesus said, if anyone loves me, he will follow my word. And I think those words weren't just for the people who walked physically with him then. They're also for us nowadays, when we hear his voice. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our dwelling with him. The one who does not love me does not follow my words, and the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. And then in these things I have spoken to you while remaining with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send, will teach you all things to remind you of all that I said to you. So this whole passage here is very much talking about communication and oneness between Jesus, the Father, the Holy Spirit, and us. There's a unity and a communication and a fellowship that this whole passage is talking about. Go to the next slide. This is the same verse from the last one, but in the Amplified. One of the things that I began learning I learned it from the very first time I had that first breakthrough of hearing God's voice, was that obedience is a huge part of hearing God's voice. Like in the Amplified, for that one verse, it says, if a person really loves me, he will keep my word or obey my teaching. That word obey is what the keep my word means. So for example, the first time I really heard God speak clearly in the moment, stuff that was scriptural, but it wasn't just bringing a scripture to mind. It was completely different words that I could write down. This is what, like, prophetic, prophecy, prophetic, like speaking in the future, although God was talking about what he was doing in me and the church, but prophetic in terms of God's voice speaking directly to me. And it started when I had this little inkling I was headed out on a walk to bring a bag and pick up trash along the side of the road. And at first I ignored it, but I started to get that guilty conscience feeling. And I was like, God, is this, I don't know, I've been wanting to hear your voice. I don't know. God, are you wanting me to pick up trash? There's nobody else is going to do it. Okay. I went back to the house, got trash, went out, picked up the first piece, and God spoke. Then I picked up another thing, and God spoke. I picked up another thing, and God spoke. And I look back, and I mean, I was bawling on the side of the road. I'm hearing God like I've dreamed for most of my life. Oh my gosh. And I would have missed that if I had not obeyed him when he said, pick up trash. Another time, he woke me up in the middle of the night, and he said, get up and praise me. He used that song that we used to sing when we had more guitarists, because it's really hard to do well with one guitar. Lord, we need another guitarist. He woke me up in the middle of the night and he said, get up and praise me. And so I got up and I went out in the living room and I just started speaking praise. I wasn't singing. I was just, God, you're good. God, you're like Phil does when he walks around praising God. That's what I was doing in the living room. And it became one of the most powerful half hours I have ever experienced in my life. The presence of God and the power of God just saturated my living room. And I never would have experienced it if I hadn't obeyed when he said, get up and praise me. Another time he woke me up in the middle of the night to go pray. And he said, bring a pen and paper. And I was like, okay. But I grabbed my tablet, which most of the time I do my journaling on my tablet now. And I got out to the living room and he said, I said pen and paper. I was like, oh, okay. So I went back and got one of my old journals that I hadn't, paper journal that I hadn't written in a long time, and got pen and paper. And I sat down, I said, okay, Lord, I have pen and paper. And he just started pouring stuff out to me, and I wrote pages of what he was saying to me, and it was so powerful, and some of it was life-changing in my life. And if I hadn't obeyed and got up, and if I hadn't obeyed and got the pen and the paper, I never would have heard any of that. And that's why these scriptures, I love them, because it's hidden like a parable. It's not obvious for anybody who just reads the scriptures, but it's in there. If you want to hear his voice, obedience is such a big part of it. And I believe the reason is because our obedience of what he tells us to do reflects our trust in him. It reflects the fact that we believe, really do believe, he knows better than we do. And any direction he gives us is good for us and is better than whatever our mind and our reasoning would prefer to do, whatever it happens to be. Go to the next slide. And then the final stage, this was just this year, and something shifted again to, instead of, you know, in the last stage, like I said, I'd wake up each morning wondering, maybe God will speak to me today. And listening, if God might speak to me. There's always this big, if he would, when will he? And I realized early this year, there was a shift. After God spoke with me, dealt with me, there was a shift to, I was no longer waking up and wondering if God would speak to me that day. Instead, I was just waiting until he spoke again. And it's become an addiction to hear God speak to you. And it's all, but it's tied in with walking with him. You can't hear God's voice if you're not willing to walk with him in that oneness that John talked about. And go to the next slide. These three verses kind of wrap up what he's been showing me this year, and it's hard to put into words because it defies description, this oneness of walking with God. In Acts, this was in the middle of Paul's message to the Athenians on Mars Hill, and it's just a little nugget in there, but we are mostly familiar with it. But I think a lot of times we rewrite over it if we're even reading the Sermon on Mars Hill. And we don't think about the depth of it. He said, in him we live and move and exist. And I believe, you know, Paul, to those who don't know God, it's true in a stepped back general state, because, you know, Colossians and Hebrews both say that, I think it's Hebrews, might be a different one, both say that everything in the world is held together by the power of Jesus, that he, in him, all things hold together. So even the whole world, and that includes unsaved people, are living in a world that's held together by the power of God, by Jesus, the Word made flesh. The Word. But for those of us who have him dwelling in us, our existence is on a whole nother level. And even if you're not experiencing it, if you've given your life to him, your existence is still on a whole nother level. You just don't know it yet. And I say that because it's really interesting. If I look back on, it's now, 22 years of journals since that moment that I discovered that God wanted to speak to me. And now I can go back and read through journals and see God was talking to me all along. You know, Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice and follow it. And I look back and see I was hearing his voice and I was following it. I just didn't know it. I wasn't recognizing it because I needed to be taught by the Holy Spirit to recognize it and get clarity. But the scripture was still true, even though I didn't feel like I was experiencing it, even though my understanding was limited and was saying, this isn't matching up to what the Bible says. I didn't actually start to experiencing it until I was like, okay, I'm going to believe what the Bible says, and I'm going to start meditating on that and stop meditating and confessing on how things seem to my understanding. And this verse here, John 5, Jesus said, I tell you the solemn truth, the Son can do nothing on his own initiative, but only what he sees the Father doing. For whatever the Father does, the Son does likewise. And for a long time, all those years, and before, until this year, I used to wonder, God, why doesn't that say, it's like when I would quote it, I would change it, and then I would catch myself, I'm changing it, but I don't understand why. I would want to change it to, the Son does whatever the Father tells him to. Because that's what we think. And all those years, I was expecting and thinking, okay, in order to obey God, first I have to hear his direction, then I have to choose to obey, and then I have to do it, and then I will be doing what God wants me to do. That is, I guess, how I was raised thinking, or at least what I heard, even if it's not what was being shared. If anybody remembers their grammar in grammar school, what was the subject in all those sentences I just said? I have to hear God's voice. I have to recognize it. I have to choose to obey. I have to obey. I was still taking all of the responsibility for all of this on myself and thinking it was all up to me. It's like Paul says in Galatians, you foolish Galatians, you saw Jesus crucified, and now that he did that for you, you think you have to perfect it and finish it on your own? Well, even though I knew that verse, and even though I knew God had revealed that verse to me in other areas of my life, I didn't realize I was doing the exact same thing in this thing of hearing his voice. I thought it was all up to me, that I in my mind had to recognize, I had to this, I had to that, I had to this. And God just kept saying, it was like this moment, and I think it was March or something of this year, where I just wound up just crying and saying, God, am I supposed to know anything? And he said, just trust me. It's like, but aren't I supposed to know? Like, yes, this is definitely God. He said, just trust me. Like, but aren't I supposed to, like, how am I supposed to make sure that I don't follow the voice of somebody else if I'm not 100% sure that it's your voice? And he said, just trust me. I said, God, am I not supposed to know anything? He said, now you're starting to get it. And it was like he was saying, I'm not going to let you analyze me. It was a very humbling moment. And all of these scriptures, you know, Jesus, and then suddenly I understood why that verse doesn't, why Jesus did not say, I tell you the solemn truth, I do only what the Father tells me to. Suddenly I understood why Jesus didn't say that, because it was deeper than that. It was a unity. It wasn't God's there and Jesus is here and God says do this, so Jesus does it. It was a unity where Jesus was so connected to the Father that the Spirit of the Father dwelling in him just flowed out and made it happen in his life. And then in 1 John 4, John again is telling and explaining what he learned walking with Jesus all those years. And the end of that verse, he says, because just as Jesus is, so also are we in the world. In other words, how Jesus said he walked in the world with that oneness of the Father, where the will of the Father just flowed through his life, and he did what the Father did, that's how he's, this is the fullness of Christ that God is leading us to. This is what Jesus said. Remember when he said, on this rock, this revelation of who I am, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And he said, greater things than these, all these miracles I did, shall you do? You know, do any of you think that the church has reached that point yet? But he said it's going to happen. So that means it has to happen before he comes back. So if we really, truly think that Jesus is coming back soon, then we have a responsibility to be available and say, God, here I am. What's my part in this? What's my part? Because Jesus prophesied that this is where he was taking the church, this oneness, this walking with him in that communion where we hear his voice and we follow him and we do what he says and he leads us like the way he led me. I don't know how many of you read my stories on Facebook. I shared back in July. If you didn't, you can go on Facebook and see, or I think it's on my website too, but it's too long to share, but my story about when I was in the airport in July, and it was just almost surreal. You know, the flight just kept getting delayed, and God just stepped in and like took over and led me to a different airplane, different airport, got home. And it wasn't that I heard God say, get up and go over there to that lady behind the counter at the airport and ask this. It was just he stepped in and he started leading, and I was just walking one step at a time, trusting. But the trust was so organic and so natural that there was no challenge, there was no anything. So hearing God's voice in this final, I say final because as of this moment this is the final stage, but who knows how many awesome stages are still to come. I can't wait. But this, where I'm at right now, I've learned that all those years of wanting to hear God's voice so much, perhaps the reason that I had to go through all those years is because I was still so stubborn and strong-willed and wanting to live my way and thinking that I could, you know, God had so many other things he had to teach me first. To learn to trust him and trust him more and more and more. I feel like he's been teaching me to trust him for my entire life. And every time he teaches me to trust him, I was like, oh, this is awesome. Okay, now I trust you, God. Okay, well, guess what? He's still got more revelations of places to show me where I haven't been trusting him, and now I can. So I'm sure there's still more to come, because it will probably never end. But I just hope that these scriptures and this testimony, this story, encourages all of you, even if, you know, maybe for some of you, you haven't struggled with hearing God's voice, but you have other things that these scriptures apply to. I don't know. But God gave me this message to share 6 weeks ago or so, and he chose today to share it. So I hope that it blesses you and encourages you, and that God speaks to you. And I believe firmly that God is bringing the body of Christ, Jesus' body, to the point where we hear his voice and follow him so organically and so beautifully, and with such purity of dedication of our life set aside for him and hearing him, that it's just like, you know, I haven't been thinking this whole time about what motion my hand's going to do. It's just a reflection, the flow of my head and my thoughts and what I'm sharing. And that's the way God is leading us, his body, so that we are a natural flow of him as the head and what he wants to do in this earth. Because he wants and he needs a people that do hear him clearly when he says, get up and go with this person, or go to this town and go to this person and say it. And in all the moments in between, when we're busy with the tasks that God has given us for that day, we are still dwelling and walking with him, and his spirit is flowing through us and doing it, so that even when we're, you know, for me it's spreadsheets, when I'm in the middle of a spreadsheet and I'm, God, how do I write this formula? It's not, second nature now. God, how do I write this formula? Okay, and he's telling me how to write out the spreadsheet formula. Or you're dealing with kids, or, you know, I don't even know what all, you know, you guys in school. God, how do I minister to this child? How do I teach this child this, get past this mental block? And maybe one day God will say, you know, rebuke this spirit and it will flee. And next, maybe another time he'll say, these are the words that will explain it to that child. Or, you know, in Lowe's, you have a difficult customer and God might be like, you might be like, oh, God, this customer is really causing a problem. And God be like, say this. Or, you know, with your students or your job with the caseworkers or with the people and everybody. God knows the answer. And he's calling us to be a people that can speak his words and do his actions and walk so closely with him that his spirit can just flow through us to the world around us. And I am 100% convinced that he has chosen this church at his feet to be a part of this strongest move of God the world has ever seen. And it is totally awesome to see it coming and be a part of it. Amen? Let's pray. Father God, I thank you for your word. I thank you for your spirit that teaches us all things. I thank you, Lord, that no matter where we are at in our journey with you, every moment is a special place where we can meet you, where we can learn from you. And Lord, I thank you that learning things from you and by your spirit can be the most exciting, exhilarating thing in the entire world. Holy Spirit, I thank you that you are the perfect teacher. We've got teachers in here who know how challenging it is to teach students, especially stubborn students. And Lord, I thank you that even when we are at our most stubborn, we're not beyond your grace and your ability to teach us. and your ability to shape our minds and break through the strongholds and the lies and anything that we've believed or things that we've just been ignorant of for years. God, you're taking us to amazing, awesome places. And I pray that you would be with each one of us and teach each one of us individually in a very personal, unique, and precious and amazing way the next lesson, the next thing, that each one of us would be filled with joy and eagerness and excitement to go deeper with you, to go farther with you, to watch and see what you're going to do inside of us so that it can flow out of us to this world that needs the Savior so much, because there is a Savior. But Jesus, we are your body. And Father, you decided in your wisdom to decree and decide that the way things would work is that you would work through the body of Christ in the earth and not any other way. And so, Lord, on behalf of all of us here, I confess and declare that we are willing to follow you. We are willing to seek you and listen. We thank you, Lord, that you provide the grace and the strength to obey. And obedience doesn't have to be hard. It can be exciting when we fully trust you. Because every place that you lead us is a good place. Because you make all things beautiful in your time. Because you promise to finish what you start. Because you know the thoughts and plans you have for us, and they are for good and for our welfare, to give us a future and a hope. And Lord, we want to share that hope and future with the world around us. And we know we can only do that by walking with you and letting your Spirit do it all. So Lord, teach us in our minds and in our words to be all about you and not about us. Because everything's about you, Lord, because you're the one who's worthy. And you're the one who makes all things new. We give you all the praise and all the glory for everything that you are doing and have been doing in us, Lord. We even give you the praise and the glory for the things that we don't know you're doing. But you are, because you're a God that never stops working. You never stop because you're the way maker. And so we thank you and praise you that you're doing things even when we can't see it. And we ask you to give us eyes to see and ears to hear so that we can see what you're doing and we can hear your voice and we can walk with you the way you have ordained for each one of us to walk with you, knowing that it might be different for each one of us than the person next to us, but that makes it only that much more beautiful. So we give you all that we are, and we give you the rest of this day and this week ahead, Lord, for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.